welcome you to Power Walk. We want you to know that you're loved by God and He has a plan for your life. It is our prayer that God will use our program to speak to you. Today, author and speaker Dr. Paul Cannings brings us part four of the message titled Terror Alert, Safeguard Your Marriage. And this is part of our current series, Family Living God's Style. We're all very aware, since 9/11, of the devastation that can take place in a few moments of attack. Now, the spiritual realm is very much the same way, and Dr. Cannings cautions us to be prepared and vigilant. Let's listen now as he brings us today's message.
I was in an airport not too long after 9/11, and while walking through this airport, it was in Africa, Kenya, Africa, and there were soldiers everywhere. They were walking around with M16s, and as we were traveling, every airport you went to, you see soldiers with M16s, and you realize that this was a serious alert. It can't be played with. It can't be something that you take for granted. It can't be something that you put on hold. You take it serious. Guns are loaded with live ammunition. People are ready and alert. The experienced people are functioning. Computers are rattling all night long. Everything is in motion because this is so serious. Oh, folks, sometimes I wish we would take our families this serious in how we safeguard it. Folks, if a person was to give to you a diamond ring that was $2 million worth, I guarantee you would not leave that in the yard. You would not leave that in the glove compartment of your car. That would be something you safeguard. That would be something you protect. You look at your child when they are going off to school. There's things you do to safeguard their lives and make sure that they come back well. We take huge, important things seriously. Sometimes I wonder why we don't take things like our marriages, things that we need to develop in our relationships that are important and significant, seriously. We're so quick to run from them. We're so quick to make decisions that lead to them falling apart. But we need to safeguard them. In other words, we don't need to wait till it's all messed up. We need to do things that would cause us to be able to manage the situation, even if it gets bad from the people within, in terms of the kids doing things crazy or a husband or wife doing things crazy. We could still manage it because we've put together a framework that is necessary for it to be productive. This is the framework we've been talking about these last several days, and I want to back up for a minute and finish up today because this is such a huge and important point. The first thing I want you to remember, and what we've already done, I want to remind you, though, is that in safeguarding your marriage, you cannot take the Word of God for granted. It does not return void. The Word of God is the very nature, the very power, the very supremacy of who Christ is. It is the safeguard, the belt of truth. Keeps everything in place. We cannot let truth be polluted because He is the way, the salvation, the truth, and He is the life. And He came to give us life and life abundantly. If we abide in Him and He abide in us, we bear much fruit. But apart from Him, we are nothing. Abiding in John 15 means verse 8, verse 9, verse 10 says obeying. Verse 7 through verse 10 it highly says to us obeying His word. Oh, folks, Satan comes into the garden. What does he attack first? He attacks the Word. You can never take that for granted. When I teach, I encourage Living Word congregation to go in and study for yourself. Look it up yourself. Your pastor will do everything to research everything to make sure that what he's saying is truth. He would take time every day of the week to make sure that he is presenting to the congregation the Word of God that is truth. Work at it. Come spend time learning why he said what he said. Because it's put a lot of hours and time into it. But you check it for yourself. Like the Berean Christians, they looked up the Word for themselves. You are responsible to do that. Don't put that in anybody's hands. You are responsible for that. God could have jumped into the garden and said, hold up, Satan, what you doing here? What you doing here? Well, folks, we have the same thing today. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, Satan is in heavenly realms. He's a prince of the air, 1 John chapter 5. So we must safeguard the Word of God. Here's the next thing we would learn from looking at this passage of Scripture. You don't communicate with Satan. There's too many people talking to Satan today. I cast you out. I diss Satan. I that Satan. Don't talk to Satan. Michael the archangel wouldn't talk to him in the book of Jude. He called on the Lord. At the sound of the Lord's name, demons will tremble. We discussed that. We talked about the fact that you don't delay in obeying God. You just don't. They knew where the tree was. It was in the middle of the garden, which means that God purposely put it there. So they're walking by it from time to time. It's not a tree that's forgotten way back in the back in the backwoods. It's in the middle of the garden. It's just like he took the tabernacle and put it in the middle of all the tribes and the gathering in the wilderness. He put it in the middle so they could see the smoke coming down and going into the holies of holies. They could see the burnt offerings being burned. They could see it. Oh, folks, the Bible is in bookstores all over the place. God has made this in the middle of the garden. So we can't delay in responding to what God is saying. It's dangerous to delay. I explain to you, it's not like Satan and his demons are way out there waiting. You know, you got to call them to you. No, I explained to you, he was crouching at the door waiting for Cain to persist in doing what he's doing. Ananias and Sapphira, he was right there when they chose to lie. Satan is the father of all lies. He created a scenario, knew their weakness of the flesh, and he worked with it. I explained to you the flesh and how Satan studied the tendencies of the flesh, and he worked with that tendency to break in to their lives. So the flesh is susceptible to so much, so you don't expose yourself to things that would cause Satan to find a way in. And the next thing we talk about is don't doubt God. When God speaks, listen, and don't delay in responding to him and keep pressing. But don't doubt God. James chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 9 says, God is not going to move on anything to make anything function. You can't doubt him. He rewards faith. Hebrews 11, 6. We must be careful in all that we are doing that we look not at the credibility of the person, but their commitment to Scripture in how they obey God in their personal lives. Understand that people who can sway you can be people who know the Word. You have to keep your ears tuned like the Berean Christians and preserve your home this way. And the Bible says if they persist in teaching this wrong, then they're not qualified to pastor you. Don't be arrogant in what you know. Some people are arrogant in what they know, and they just assume that they don't do their homework. They don't ask the pastor where he got certain things from. Study it. Find out what he's thinking, how, why he got here, how this happened, what passage of scripture he was looking at. Don't listen to a few words and run off. When people do that, you question their motives. But a person who is really wanting the truth would always seek it. They wouldn't just run off. They would seek it. So check it out. You be like the Berean Christians. Check out what I say. I hope you do. Sincerely mean that. Now, I want to jump into this part of where we left off last time. Bottom part of verse 6 and verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Notice he didn't say, Eve, why are you doing this? Come on, Eve. No, notice this too, folks. Please remember, Romans chapter 5. Sin did not come into the world until Adam ate. Okay? Until Adam ate it, it came into the world. That's why it was important that it went this way, out of order. Adam chose to be a passive male. He chose to just do what his wife says because he enjoyed being with her. We know he was with her intimately because of Genesis chapter 2. He says the two shall become one flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that's when intimacy took place. And Adam experienced his wife. He ate that fruit. And sin came into the world. Men, we have a serious position as men. Serious. This is very serious. This is not ego and I'm the man and, I'm running this and all this stuff. No. Your wife is a helper to you. I look for advice from my wife. I'm not afraid to say that. I look for her advice. Why? Because I'm not complete without her. The Bible made that clear. The Bible says she's my helper, which means I need help. Okay? Which means I can't do everything by myself. I need help from her. So without her, I'm incomplete. So we don't have to deal with all the ego stuff, because when a person is spiritual, they're humble. Humble don't mean everybody can run over you and say what they're going to say. You just go, oh, yes, we understand. We'll do. No, humble can sometimes not seem humble. When Christ was speaking to the Pharisees because of their attitude, he says, woe to you Pharisees, you hypocrites. I don't seem humble. Humble is when I do what God says, no matter how low it takes me, how high it takes me, how wide it takes me. My commitment is to do the will of him that sent me while it is day. That is my commitment. When I do that, I will put people above myself. So the Bible is saying I'm willing to humble myself and do those things because I'm committed to the position God has called me to, and that is to do his will no matter what. See, folks, that role of you as a man, is huge to the preservation of your family. And you never take that lightly. Never do. It's serious. Now, folks, here's the next thing we find. The eyes of them both were open. They now open to evil. And look at what they saw was evil that God called good. And they knew that they were naked. Nakedness became a problem. Nakedness became a problem. When marriages allow things to get corrupt, it steals intimacy from the marriage. It steals trust. It corrupts marriage when sin is involved. When Satan has a way in, well, he corrupts the very core of what makes them husband and wife, the intimacy of the marriage. It corrupts what makes them one. So intimacy leads to oneness. Folks, a simple thing like allowing Satan to come into this marriage stole the intimacy that they found beautiful. Don't let it happen. Satan will eventually corrupt that. And you don't need it corrupted because it maintains oneness in a marriage. It maintains trust in a marriage. It maintains the elements of a marriage that make a marriage a marriage. It maintains a person being around someone they so trust that this person would never violate them. That's why they could be at the most vulnerable situation in their life and know that this person will never violate them. This person will never do anything to damage them. And that's why they could be most vulnerable with this person, that there's their husband or their wife. Oh, folks, Satan can come to the very core of a marriage and corrupt it if you let him. And that's why there's a terror alert. And you must safeguard your marriage. You must make sure that you put on the armor of God. You don't take your time to do what God has called you to do, because that's what led to this sin. Safeguard your marriage. It is the most important thing you would do outside of accepting Jesus into your life. God bless you.
Very true, Dr. Cannings. The belt of truth is what keeps everything in place. And now, Pastor Cannings would like to share a brief word with you.
Folks, you know, these last 2 years have been exciting years for Power Walk in spite of being hit by the pandemic. I've also realized that many of you, our friends, have lost loved ones, lost jobs, and have faced health and other challenges. We have kept you in our prayers, and you will always be glad to know that God enabled us to minister to many who were impacted by COVID all around the city of Houston and around the world. At this time, however, I would love to bring to your attention the immediate need that we have. And I really mean an immediate, and that is $275,000 so we finish the year in the black. So for a gift of $50 or more, we will send you our latest book, Disciples in the Making, Discipling Believers from Spiritual Infancy to Spiritual Maturity. It is a great devotional as well. We really appreciate your support and your partnership in our ministry. May God bless you.
To learn more, please contact us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Or log on to powerwalkministries.org. Now remember, not to allow the enemy to steal the trust, confidence, and love in your home. Safeguard it with God's Word.